Here's to those who love not wisely, no, not wisely, but too well. To the girl who sighs with envy when she hears that wedding bell. To the guy who'd throw a party if he knew someone to call. Here's to the losers, bless them all. Here's to those who drink their dinners when that lady doesn't show. To the girls who wait for kisses underneath that mistletoe. To the lonely summer lovers when the leaves begin to fall. Here's to the losers, bless them all. Hey, Tom, Dick, and Harry, coming out of the rain. Those torches you carry must be drowned in champagne. Here's the last toast of the evening. Here's to those who still believe. All the losers will be winners. All the givers shall receive. Here's to trouble-free tomorrows. May your sorrows all be small. Here's to the losers, bless them all. Hey, Tom, Dick, and Harry, come in out of that rain. Those torches you carry must be drowned in champagne. Here's the last toast of the evening. Here's to those who still believe. All the losers will be winners. All the givers shall receive. Here's to trouble-free tomorrows. May your sorrows all be small. Here's to the losers. Here's to the losers.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Friday, December 8th, 2017 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. Things are crazy these days and just getting crazier all the time. And we're going to talk about that today. I have a special guest. And before I get in trouble, I already asked. And I need to double check. First of all, welcome to my special guest. How do I pronounce your name? I've heard it pronounced different ways, and I want to make sure I get it right. Carod, right?
Hello.
Welcome.
Welcome. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. I just got a call there as you called. That's why I was just telling my wife that I was on the radio, so sorry for the confusion. How are you doing, Chris?
Good. Garod, how do I pronounce your name, just so I get it right? I know Garod, I asked earlier, but... Pardon?
Garod O'Coleman.
Garod O'Coleman. Okay. Yeah. So, you've been a guest on this broadcast before, and it's always fantastic, always a pleasure, and from now on, I will pronounce your name properly. So I apologize for mispronouncing your name in the past, but
no problem. Man. Everybody gets that wrong. it's our language is not that well known. It's uh, the Irish language, and so our pronunciation is quite difficult. If you go to the west of Ireland and you hear the way Irish is spoken, it sounds something like Arabic. So I'm sure you're familiar with Irish accents at this stage anyway.
Yes.
So yep. You understand my English.
Yes, absolutely. So just diving right in, basically, I saw a news article recently, and this is sort of off topic. We were there are some things that we kind of have in the pipe to talk about. The floor is yours, and for as much or as little time as you want. And I know that there are some folks in the audience that are particularly interested in what you'll have to say. But I thought it was interesting, a couple of things. Washington Post reporting, Israeli forces, Palestinians clash on Gaza border. One protester reporter reported killed. And then the other story was Israeli police prepare for Palestinian day of rage, quote unquote. And I had some notes for the beginning of the day. One of my notes was this day in history, 1987, the first intifada began against the Israeli, or should I say, what I would call political Zionist, most people would just call Zionist, occupation of the West Bank and Gaza. And so that on the heels, you know, that anniversary right on the heels of the Trump White House recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of the State of Israel, which is not to be confused or considered synonymous with the biblical Israel. That's obviously a, you know, a recipe for more chaos. And I realize that's a little bit off topic. Maybe we can come back to that at some point and talk a little bit about, you know, that kind of, I think, lends itself to the Israelgate discussion. CNN keeps talking about Russia and the Russiagate nonsense there. If there's anything to it, they're certainly not getting to it. Meanwhile, there's all kinds of other stuff going on, like this Israelgate story. Maybe we'll get back to that. But I'll tell the audience, if you have been following any of Garrod's reporting, you probably, whether you have or you haven't, I think you'll come away from this broadcast feeling like, especially for those of us in America, you'll feel like American exceptionalism, that concept, is an afterthought, and we are, the world is a big place, and we are a smaller fish than we ever imagined. There are a lot of things going on these days, and we're going to get into that. So, without further ado, we should just dive right in, right?
Yeah. You mentioned, I suppose, the topic of today is recognition of Jerusalem.
Yes,
capital of Israel. You know, I mean, the response, what Trump is doing, it's very, very unclear what the long-term objective of the Trump administration is. We really don't know, because it's different to all previous U.S. regimes insofar as it's opposed by a section of the establishment. You know, it's not like Barack Obama, who is sort of, you know, voted in, was kind of politically correct and was promoting this sort of a feel-good, politically correct view of the world, which was kind of perfectly in line with the objectives of globalization. Trump is this sort of disharmony, you know, it's a sort of cacophonic note in the symphony. And so nobody's quite sure what the meaning of it is. Trump says one thing and then does another. Sometimes he says something and it's contradicted by somebody else in the foreign in the State Department, or one of his own aides. You know, so this recent statement that he's going to move the embassy to Jerusalem, obviously it's created a lot of consternation in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen the Palestinians. There was a conference recently in Iran. You know, Hezbollah have said this is a new Sykes-Picot.
Right.
And the Muslim world is reacting to it, and you know, this could lead to an escalation. But on the other hand, the Israeli press is saying that they don't think he's going to do anything. I read an article in the Times of Israel where they said it didn't look like that America was going to do this at all. In fact, it was declared, I think, in 1995 that America would recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And there doesn't seem to be any, no one has any idea where they're going to put the embassy. It's unknown as of now where the embassy is going to be. And no actual concrete moves have been made, as far as I know, to move diplomatic staff to Jerusalem. So it's just a statement, you know. Trump kind of behaved similarly towards Syria. He made statements during his presidential campaign that he was going to kind of talk to Bashar al-Assad, perhaps tone things down a bit, make sure that, I mean, he basically said that the priority would be not to support Daesh and the terrorists rather than getting rid of Assad. Then you had a kind of a psyops, a false flag attack, which false gas attack, where the media blamed it on Assad, and then Trump bombed Syria, but really didn't do anything. He basically just dropped almost an empty evacuated airbase, and it was basically a cosmetic measure.
Right.
So there he's doing something, but again, it's unclear what the real objectives are. So this is it's very difficult to read and interpret the Trump administration because of the constant intrigue and this obsession with Russia, with Russian infiltration, when in fact, of course, everybody knows that the government that controls the United States more than any other foreign government is Israel.
Yep.
And that's, you're not allowed to mention that.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, that's the big issue in the United States. It's the only other foreign power. It's a foreign power that essentially runs your security service, runs your media, runs your entertainment industry. So basically,
yeah.
And it's not just the United States. It's France. It's most of Europe. These are the same corporations. We watch the same, you know, crap films from these companies. We watch the same. We have the same editorial lines because we're owned, we're bought and paid for, as it were, by the same people. So it's just as much of a problem in Europe as it is in the United States.
And it's interesting that it has been sort of a hidden hand kind of a scenario for a long time. It's been hush hush. Folks like Allison Weir, I think, do a good job of talking about it. But you know, I've mentioned recently that it's the kind of thing that gets guys like David Irving or the late Ernst Zundel banned from countries for talking about it. Like you said, you know, you can't talk about that. But now, obviously, we've seen in recent years, especially in the post 9/11 era, a more direct control. And I think it's a sort of provocative irony. I think of just about everything in terms of foreign policy here in America through the lens of Pike's letter to Mazzini and what I call political Zionism versus political Islam equals World War III. And it seems like these forces are collided together, and it's interesting to me that if you go to the UN Human Rights Watch, even the Wikipedia entry talks about the fact that Israel and Saudi Arabia are the two worst human rights abusers, even according to the UN, in the entire world. But those are our two greatest allies in the region, and we the fact of the matter is Israel is horrible at their treatment of people, horrible at human rights abuses, but we have them training our American law enforcement and United States military, which should be frightening to people. So it's a more direct control now, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, the problem with, the more I find in researching globalization and trying to make sense of the world, is that Israel pops up everywhere. You know, people, yep. One of the big problems with activism nowadays and left-wing activism, there's a lot of very well-intentioned people on the left, you know, kind of talking about human rights and so on, and Palestine and the rights of the Palestinians and all this kind of stuff. And a lot of there's a lot of NGOs working in Palestine, and I'm sure a lot of very good people risking their lives in, you know, working in Gaza on the ground. And point I'm making is I think that a lot of this well-intentioned activism is actually helping Israel rather than the opposite, because what a lot of these NGOs do is they focus in on Palestinians as eternal victims, which of course they are because they're under occupation. But they kind of create a narrative of victimology, which focuses attention just on the Middle East. So the problem is that there's this place called the Middle East, and that's the problem. That's like the problem in the Middle East is causing all of the trouble in the world. It's emanating from there, and it's leading to different. It's a misrepresentation of the problem. Zionism is not just an ideology which is causing trouble in the Middle East. Zionism is a project of world domination. It's a project of world domination by Jewish nationalists.
And it always has been. Yep, always has been.
Always has been, and it's so the Palestinians are living under an actual military occupation, full-scale martial law, you know. But what those activists, those people working on the ground in Gaza, and a lot of these liberal leftists who complain about Israel, what they either don't see or refuse to see is the fact that this is a process which is continuing throughout the world and will be the model for the world if the Zionists get what they want, which is world domination, the destruction of the nation state and the institution of world government. That is, you know, if they get, now they can't get that, of course, without gasifying the world. In other words,
exactly.
Get a situation where ordinary people will accept a global government, and I don't even know if it's possible. It probably isn't really, but they'll certainly try it. You know, the consequence is the destruction of most of the planet.
Yeah,
but that's where we're heading long term. But it's a long term plan. It's not going to happen next year. It's not going to happen very soon. It's a long term plan. These people are long term thinkers.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. You know, and as far as the gazification of the world is concerned, and kind of getting back to what I said about how it's a more, you know, that militarized control, and it comes with a psyop, as you know. I don't think most folks realize it comes with a psyop. And if you're looking closely, if you watch what Alison Weir says, if you're looking closely at the headlines, you'll notice that we get gaslighted to death. People, while they're doing stuff, they're abusing people, they're telling you that's not what's happening, and they're playing the victim, which is a real awful way to mess with somebody's head. And I saw a headline today, actually, Washington Post, body cam captures police dog attacking innocent woman taking out her garbage. And this story perfectly characterizes the gazification of America and what's coming to the world. I'll tell you what I mean when we come back. More with my special guest, Garud Okolmon, when we come back.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Well, I've been thinking the pain off these walls, watching every single aspiration just fall. Why can't it be like it is in my dreams? Why fly through the sky but ain't got no wings? I'm like a sweating stack of dynamite. It's true, you can straight feel the blast from brush against you. Name it, I've been hearing the voices of the grave. Now every single one make me their slave. All pushing that music down into my veins, all that power and all that pain. I'm like a sweating stack of dynamite. It's true, you can straight feel the blast when we brush against you.
I know. Welcome
that
back.
It's coming.
Friday, December 8th, 2017, and speaking of days that live on in infamy, yesterday was Pearl Harbor Day, so to speak. Today, obviously, was Monday, December 8th, 1941, when Congress declared war on Japan and the U.S. entered World War II. Incidentally, that was the last time Congress declared war, 76 years ago. So then what are we doing? Conducting forward operations in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, Syria, Libya, Yemen, Uganda, Cameroon, Iran, etc. Most people haven't missed the memo on Iran. I say refer back to retired Air Force Colonel Sam Gardner's September 18, 2006 Situation Room appearance. But we are speaking of war and conflict. I was going to just refer to that story, the Washington Post story, the gazification. I think that's a great way to put it. You have, you know, I remember that talk, I think, was it the Paris attack talk when you were talking about the Wahhabizing of the West, and I thought, man, that's a good way to put it, in Western Europe. The gazification of the world.
It sounds exaggerated, but if you look at the logic of what's happening,
it's not. It's perfectly stated.
I mean,
absolutely.
Here in France, since the intensification of the war on terror, because the war on terror is ongoing, it's even, you know, we can go back to the Chirac era when you had a war on terror in France even before September 11th. You had back in the 90s, so the discourse of terrorism goes back a long, long time. But since the intensification of that war, the militarization of the streets is very, very noticeable. And when you go to parks now, you go running in the city, go into a park, parks that were normally open. I mean, they're still open to the public, but you have checks. And, we don't have to stop every time. If you're carrying a bag, you have to get your bag checked before you go into the park, into the public park. So the next step will be you have to queue up and put your bag through a scanner before you go into the park. And then the next step after that will be, you know, you'll have a profiling of each person, because they'll be able to, you know, they'll have technology to scan your face and facial recognition. Yeah. And, you know, bit by bit, you may be one of the suspects. The only people who are suspected are dissidents. They're the only people the state fears.
And
the whole purpose of the war on terror is to create the conditions for the total enslavement of the population, and to make sure that they cannot ever wake up, that people can never realize just what's really going on. So the real threat to the state is the kind of awakening that's taking place through the internet, through social media, and so on. Stations like your own station, independent media, that is the real threat. And that is getting worse. So we are seeing a militarization of the streets. We are seeing this process of gasification ultimately, because as the nation states weaken and become failed states like Greece, for example, where on the one hand you have a totally indebted state owned by foreign oligarchs, which is no longer capable of providing for its people, neither in employment nor basic social services, which is inundated with just migrants. Most of them are just migrants from different countries. Many of the islands, there are islands in Greece that are now where you have more migrants than native inhabitants. So it's an absolute recipe for chaos, because the moment when the state collapses, when, for example, we have a banking crisis where we're not able to get money out of or use our banking cards, can you imagine the panic you would have in 24 hours? I mean, you would have cannibalism within a week in the big cities.
Exactly.
And then you have all these guys. We have, you know, in Paris, what I've seen in the migration crisis is that you have people from Somalia, people from Ethiopia, Eritrea, the Eastern Africa, who have nothing to do with France. These are, and they seem to be, a lot of these are being brought in here. There seems to be a policy worldwide, and I've noticed this in many other countries. I've spoken to people in Sri Lanka, I've spoken to people in Asia, in different parts of the world, and they're all complaining about the fact that the migrants that are coming to their country are completely different.
Exactly. Let's pick that up on the other side of this break. Folks, stick around. We'll be right back with my special guest, Rode Okolmon, right after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Well,
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. Bottom of the first hour. Bottom of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Friday, December 8th, 2017, joined by my special guest, Garod Okolman. How am I doing? Am I doing better?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
You still have you?
Yeah.
Okay, better.
Yeah, sorry. We were talking about the mining crisis. I was just saying in the before the break there that
everybody's complaining about the fact that the migrants that are coming to their country are completely different.
Yeah, and it's not just in Europe. You find this in other countries in Asia. I was talking to a journalist in Asia, and he was saying the same thing. He was saying that bringing in migrants into his country, which is predominantly Buddhist, and they have all kinds of problems in Sri Lanka. And, you know, he was telling me that they're bringing in Muslims specifically, and this is being, this is being coordinated with the United Nations. And you find that, you know, all of this goes back to the United Nations. I've written recently about Burma, Myanmar. That's a country that's being, again, attacked by all of these institutions of globalization, institutions like Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, all connected to the U.S. State Department, financed by Saudi Arabia, George Soros, a whole host of oligarchs and globalists. That country is now being attacked, and it looks like there's a process whereby they're trying to bring about the Balkanization of that country, breaking the country up into its constituent parts. It's a very, very complex country. It's taken me a while to understand it, but I was there recently. In fact, I went to Myanmar and to Rakhine State to investigate for an upcoming documentary I'm making with a French company. And basically, the media are lying. They're lying through their teeth about everything that's going on there. There isn't a state-sponsored genocide. Most of the killing is being done by Islamist groups who are invading the country from Bangladesh predominantly, and from Islamist groups within the country in the northern Rakhine State. And there is a very difficult problem to solve there, which, again, rather than trying to explain it because it would take too long, I would suggest people read the series I wrote in American Herald Tribune, which is called Imperialism's New, the Rohingya Imperialism's New Cause.
And is that the three-part series?
Yeah. And I've been, you know, I've been researching a lot about this, and I've been there, and I've spoken to a lot of victims, victims of Rohingya violence. That's not what you hear about in the media. I've spoken to, I spoke to lots of people who lost family members, witnessed beheadings, torture. The media are lying and lying and lying and lying and telling the same kinds of lies they told in Syria, the same kind of lies they told in Libya and Yugoslavia and all the other countries.
And which is the same MO. It's the same Gazification because, you know, in this context, the narrative is that the victim is the oppressor and vice versa.
Absolutely. And they're demonizing the Burmese state. It's an extremely fragile country. They had been dealing with ethnic insurgencies since they gained independence in 1948. The British never left them. They never really left the country. They as soon as they left the country, they started supporting the Karen insurgents in the north of the country, or in the west, rather. The Kachin, the Mon. There are many, many different ethnic groups. I spoke with the leader of the ethnic coalition, which is negotiating with the government recently.
And which, again, is the same kind of MO.
Inside Myanmar, most people talk about that problem, the problem of the ethnic insurgencies. Most people you speak to have never even heard of the Rohingya because the term has never really been used, neither by any of the other ethnic groups in the country, nor the Bengali Muslims themselves. The people we're talking about are Bengali Muslims in northern Rakhine State. But it's very easy to lie about a country when it's complex, when it's far away, and when you have a sophisticated media campaign. And in this case, it's not even that sophisticated. I mean, the fake news that has been circulating on the internet about the Rohingya is just disgraceful, you know. It's quite amateur, but and it has even been debunked by the BBC. The BBC have admitted that there's been massive amounts of fake news about atrocities against Rohingya, where they publish pictures, you know, showing dead Rohingya, and it's turned out to be a massacre or earthquake, the aftermath of an earthquake in 2010 in China, and so on and so forth. There's just tons of that stuff, which I detail in those articles. And what's happening there as well is there's another aspect to this, which is what I've referred to before as coercive engineered migration.
Right.
The idea of getting massive amounts of people to move in Myanmar. The terrorists essentially wanted the villages in northern Rakhine State to be evacuated. So they the terrorist groups terrorized everyone, in particular Hindu villages. Some villages were exterminated. Whole villages were wiped out by the terrorists. There are mass graves which have been uncovered. None of this, of course, is reported by the media. Muslims have also been killed by these terrorists. They come into villages and Muslims who refuse to cooperate with them are beheaded. This happened in Syria, of course, where the terrorist groups would come into villages and take the village captive, hostage. And they wanted to get everybody out of the northern Rakhine State. I'm referring to the August 25th terrorist attacks in Myanmar. The terrorist attacks, of course, were ignored. The terrorist attacks against the police stations in Myanmar were ignored by the media. Instead, they focused on the so-called brutal crackdown. The terrorists essentially wanted to evacuate those villages, have a huge impact in the media, then accuse, commit crimes, blame them on the government, and get the entire so-called international community behind them, which they did, and they still do, and it's still a big issue now. And they got people on the run, they got them moving to back into Bangladesh, and there's a huge exodus of people from that country all the time because of overpopulation. It has about 170 million people. It's the most overpopulated country in the world, and it's Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina has said herself that it's a major problem, that the country doesn't have enough room. So they kind of need more land in Bangladesh. And so they're not naturally enough, millions of young men are leaving. And they're leaving and they're being exploited, of course, by traffickers. They're getting involved in trafficking and they're being shipwrecked sometimes. And they're ending up in Thailand, Malaysia, and so on. So that's a big problem as well. A lot of these are coming into Myanmar from the sea.
And speaking of the coercive engineered migration, folks don't realize, I think, unless they have time, like you said, it's a complicated problem far away. I don't think folks realize that how much of this is engineered. I mean, I think of, for example, the Saudi blockade on Yemen that's killing people literally because they can't get food. And it's that kind of thing that impoverishes people, that forces them to go literally just try to find food to survive, that makes them do the kinds of things that you're talking about. And we wonder, you know, why pirates are created and things like
Absolutely.
That.
The thing is, if I were a young man in one of these countries, I probably would be a migrant too. I'd probably be heading to Germany because it makes sense. Everyone needs to survive and needs to come up with the best option to survive. The problem is that the United Nations has deliberately created a situation where they are weakening nation states. Any nation state that tries to, you know, set up government structures that actually serve the public interest are either bombed, like in Syria or Libya, into failed states.
Exactly.
And then you have an exodus of people, refugees, etc., etc. And you also have institution, you have massive money. There's massive money being pumped into the migration agenda. I mean, people, for example, in Myanmar, Bengali Muslims from northern Rakhine State who are now in Bangladesh, they, through UN programs, UN money, they get to go to Europe. They end up in Germany or other countries, and they often go back to Bangladesh. And basically, if they want to get a refugee status and free accommodation and some money, all they have to do is say that they are Rohingya and they're escaping genocide. Similarly, because the United States has a war, there is a war by the United States against Eritrea in Eastern Africa, because the United States has put sanctions on Eritrea, an Ethiopian who arrives in Europe only needs to declare himself an Eritrean who is fleeing the so-called dictatorship, and he gets refugee status. And refugee status means, you know, accommodation in, you know, a nice, well-built apartment block in Sweden, or something similar somewhere else in Europe. And they, you get put up, which is not bad, you know. This is essentially what's happening. This is social engineering. They're bringing in these youths. Now, in a situation where we have a major economic collapse, this is where I think this could turn really nasty. And, of course, the fact that it's continuing nonstop as well. On the one hand, like, there's two processes. One is you attack the nation state that's trying to provide for its country. You make that impossible, and then you get people on the move. And then you bring them in to European states, which are also collapsing under austerity and indebtedness and so on. So that's a recipe for disaster, and that's where we're heading right now.
Yeah, and at the same time, like you said, well, the way you put it in part one of the three-part series, who is responsible for ethnic cleansing in Myanmar, the growing Wahhabi death cult is receiving copious funding from Saudi Arabia, and that's kind of a constant theme you see everywhere. So, like you said, you know, I would, if I was in one of these places and I was a young man, I'd probably either be a migrant, or if I was upset and easily radicalized, so to speak, then I'd probably, you know, let somebody pay me to go join the Wahhabi death cult. You know what I mean?
Sure. I mean, for the youth in what we call the banlieue in Paris, the suburbs, what do you expect them to do? I mean, they come from these countries. They don't really feel French. They don't identify. It's very hard for a foreigner to identify with a, you know, it's very hard for someone to come into a country like France or Germany and identify with that country. It takes at least 2-3 generations before you're going to feel, you know, I'm French. Or, like, I can't actually, my family in Ireland goes back as far as I can't find any foreign other than my mother, which would be the 12th century Normans. I can go back to the Norman invasion, but, you know, I don't feel anything other than Irish. You know, I don't feel like I have another nationality or another culture. But if you come from, you know, if I went to India and lived there, it would take a long time for me and my family to feel Indian. Or if I lived in China, it would take a long time for me. I don't think I'd ever be accepted in China as Chinese, you know. But anything goes in Europe and the United States. This is the problem. The United States is different because it's a settler nation. But in Europe, in Europe it's a big problem. So people in our suburbs, the youth, unemployed, they are, you know, they're alienated. They're alienated because a lot of them don't feel French, and yet they don't feel Algerian or Moroccan or whatever. And so they're in between two worlds, and they're alienated from the mainstream of the country they live in, and so on. And these radical ideologies are all over the place, and of course they're in cahoots with the Masonic ruling class. So it is a nightmare.
Absolutely. We're up against a break, and I understand that you have to go. So do you want to tell folks how they can get in touch with you, or
It's www.garodacolmon.org. That's my website. Broad Ford Soviet is my Twitter. And you can also get me on social media. So
and then you have the articles. There's your YouTube page and the articles that you've written over at AHT, the American Herald Tribune.
And I continue to write for them. I'll be writing a lot more soon. I'm working at a book at the moment, and it's just taking a long time because it's too much to cover and too little time to cover it. So hopefully that'll be out fairly soon. So I'll let you know when that happens.
Right on. Well, I'm glad that we got you for the moments that we got you, and so thank you for coming on. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Chris. Great to talk to you again.
You too, Garode. I appreciate it. And folks, check out his work. I mean, you can hear just listening to him. Just go watch any of his appearances, you know, on Press TV or RT or there's really nobody that knows what's going on better. And hopefully one of these days we can have him back and we can ask him how he does it, because I don't know how he does it. It's pretty fantastic. Stick around. We'll be right back after the short break.
Hey folks, CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need.
No flowers, no flashbulbs, no wine. He's haunted by something he cannot define. Bowel-shaking earthquakes of doubt and remorse assail him, impale him with monster truck force. In his mind, he's still driving, still making the grade. She's hoping in time that her memories will fade, 'cause he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's striving and driving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. 'Cause he's going the distance, he's going for speed. She's all alone, all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and biting and riding on his horse. He's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and biting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance. He's going.
Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Friday, December 8th, 2017. And time goes so fast when he's on. I mean, seriously, it's like it was 10 minutes or something. It just seems like it can't go fast enough. I had all kinds of questions. I wanted to talk to him about his articles, and hopefully it won't be months before he's on again. But Garota Colmain is an investigative journalist par excellence, and you can tell. I mean, listen to him. Just go listen to any of his interviews. Like I said, Press TV or RT or any of the debates that he's done. When people try to throw him questions or curveballs or whatever, he's just always prepared, and I marvel at his masterful command of the subject matter. It's just brilliant. And like I said, you know, the gazification of the world is a perfect way to put that. I mean, it's brilliant. And that is what's happening. We'll talk more about that in the second hour and open up the phone lines as we have been doing, or we started doing last Friday, I should say. Obviously, with him on, didn't want to do that early, but the phone lines are open in the second hour. 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. Stick around. We'll be right back. Second hour coming up.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.